welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan, Covers Senior Industry Analyst, and your host for the next 10 minutes or so as we walk you all through everything, all things betting for NFL Week 9. That includes Thursday Night Football picks, our anytime touchdown bets, our two-minute drill wagers at the end, our best bets, and a special holiday theme segment because it's spooky season. And speaking of spooky, my co-host here on the Sharp 600, he's the bookmaker's boogeyman. He lives underneath the bed of odds makers. And don't you dare look in the mirror and say his name three times because he's going to get you. That's Mr. Todd Furman. Todd, welcome back. Happy Halloween. We were talking about this before we went on. We were talking about our favorite Halloween treats. If there was a Super Bowl for Halloween candy, a candy bowl, we could say, who would be your top three favorites to win the candy bowl?
Favorites to win the candy bowl is different than how I'm going to power rate my own candy.
Wow, so power rate your candy then.
If I'm power rating my candy, it's Sour Patch Kids 1.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Gummy Bears 2. And I'm going to put Snickers up there at number 3. Ooh. But if we're power rating the field in general and we're throwing out to the masses, look, I think Reese's Peanut Butter Cups win in a runaway. I just can't eat too many of them now at this point in my life, because I probably stuff my face more than I should have as a kid with those things.
I'm a big peanut butter and chocolate kind of fan, but I will say, big on the Sour Patch Kids and the gummies for me. You know what's a underrated candy? And it scores for both holiday flair, it can double as a costume, and deliciousness.
You better not say candy corn. You better not say candy corn.
Oh, God, no. No.
We're ending this show right here if you say candy corn.
No, God, no. You ever see the gummy vampire teeth? Those are amazing.
I have not, actually. So now I'm going to have to go through my internet search history and try and figure out where I can identify some
sweet and
gummy
tangy,
vampire
chewy,
teeth.
And then you can be like, just throw them in. And and after they rot out your teeth, you have these teeth that you can put into as well, too. let us know here. What's your favorite candy of Halloween? Who is your top three favorites to win the candy bowl? And you can do that on the Covers YouTube channel, where you can also like and subscribe to for this video and for the Covers YouTube channel. Leave your comments, best bets, thoughts, whatever you got, as well as whatever podcast platform you're choosing to listen to the Sharp 600. You can rate and review the podcast. We appreciate that feedback as well, too. All right, Chris, give us 600 scary seconds on the clock for NFL Week 9. All right, Todd, Halloween is Friday night, which means I'm going to take the kids trick-or-treating, and then I'm going to implement the candy tax, and steal some treats, and sit my butt down on the couch and watch some scary movies. Are you much of a horror movie kind of guy?
I love them. My wife can't stand them, so it creates quite the paradox in the grand scheme of things. I think they're all hysterical, and unless it's a psychological thriller, those are the ones that really get me a little bit more than the old school horror movies where everyone throws on a mask and just keeps killing everyone.
Yeah, and there's fun in that. Let's have some Halloween fun here. Let's assign a scary movie, Halloween movie, to some of these NFL teams. I'll kick us off to kind of set the tone here. I'm going to go with the New York Giants. It's Friday the 13th. You got a bunch of bright-eyed kids having fun, and they're getting picked off one by one by one. We saw Malik Nabers go down. We saw Cam Scataboo in gruesome fashion. You just know the beautiful blonde is next, right? Don't go skinny dipping, Jackson Dart. You better watch your back. So the New York Giants, Friday the 13th. Todd, what's your Halloween movies and NFL teams?
Well, I'll go with the Giants' opponent this weekend, the San Francisco 49ers, and they are the final destination of the National Football League. The reason I say that is it doesn't matter what happens week to week. Eventually, someone on that roster, in this case, is going to get hurt, not necessarily die. And it's a big name in Brock Purdy. It's Nick Bosa. Then it's the depth guys. So you can come back from injury, but that's still not going to allow you to outrun your fate. The 49ers are the embodiment of final destination with the way the injury bug has ravaged that team all season long.
And there's been like 8 of those Final Destination movies, and the Niners every year just seem to be getting guys hurt.
It's just rinse and repeat over and over. In the years they don't get hurt, they get to Stanley Cup. They get to the Super Bowl.
They probably have a better chance of getting to the Stanley Cup some of those seasons. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens return of the Living Dead. So the Ravens were dead in the water a couple weeks ago. They had some tough losses, but then they had all those injuries on both sides of the football. It looked like all hope was lost there for a while, but they get a timely bye in week 7. They get a week 8 win, and it looks like right now, according to that point spread, is that they're on track for another win here on Thursday night. And then we also see the Steelers stumbling a bit. Baltimore could be back from the dead in this AFC North. They have a much easier path too. Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, the Jets, and Cincy, all before a crucial AFC North showdown with Pittsburgh in early December. So the Ravens could be climbing their way out of the grave. Return of the Living Dead here, week 9. You got another one for us?
Yeah, we're going to go to the depths of the ocean because the Kansas City Chiefs are the NFL equivalent of Jaws. They are the apex predator just lurking around. They may go quiet and dormant for 45 minutes to an hour of a major motion picture, but when they decide they want to come up and bite you, they're going to get their pound of flesh. And in my opinion, the only way you're going to be able to put this team to bed or kill Jaws off is when Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes decide they've had enough of feasting on the National Football League. The Chiefs, until further notice, are Jaws.
All right. Will the Bills need a bigger boat this week?
They very well may, given what we've seen from that team defensively, and no Ed Oliver anchoring that defensive line.
Yeah. All right. My next one, going with the Tennessee Titans, a pretty gruesome team right now, but the Tennessee Titans are nope. So that about sums up my handicapping practices when it comes to Titans games for the rest of the year. Want to bet on the Titans? Nope. The movie, it's a Jordan Peele movie. It's about aliens or something. Honestly, I have not seen the movie, but I have to think that...
Wait a second. What is the movie parallels that you haven't even seen?
But I would have to say, you'd have probably have to be from another planet if you feel confident taking the points with the Titans at all this year. So I'm gonna say nope is the Tennessee Titans. You got one more for us?
Yeah, I had the Titans down as well, and then I'll get to my final one. But I was going to use the movie It, because they are the definition of a killer clown, and the clown's name in that movie is Pennywise. But you'd have to be penny foolish to continue to bet the Tennessee Titans the way that they keep burning money at the window, a trend this season and in the past as well. But instead, I'm going to call your Dallas Cowboys Nightmare on Elm Street, because Freddy Krueger is Jerry Jones. There's nobody that kills more people and their dreams faster than Jerry Jones, allowing that fan base to think this is the year they're going to get back over the hump. He just decides, hey, look, you know, we're more than one player short defensively, and he is the true dream killer that becomes a reality for everybody that's rooting for that illustrious star on the side of their helmets.
I feel like Nancy, like lying there in bed and just having like the Jerry Jones come over me in the middle of the night.
It's the deep, dark secrets, J-Lo, that the neighborhood has been trying to keep from their children. And what Cowboys fans are reeling, that deep, dark secret is once they parted ways with Jimmy Johnson, they were bound to push this franchise into purgatory. Yes, I know they won't Barry Switzer, but they were still Jimmy's players.
Thursday Night Football got the Ravens taking on the Dolphins. Odds, of course, divided by Bet365. I'm going to start us off. I'm going with Lamar Jackson over longest run, 14.5. At -110. Jackson's usage in the run game, maybe it's tempered by that hamstring injury, so I might stay away from his total, but I do think he gets over this longest rush number of 14.5. He's taking on a Miami defense that is very aggressive, blitzes at one of the highest rates in the NFL, and that means added pressure, maybe springing Lamar from the pocket, but it also means less linebackers at the second level when Lamar takes off. And the Dolphins also run a lot of man-to-man stuff, which means defenders locked into their coverage and turning their backs to the QB, and it takes a touch longer for them to recognize run and then come in and make the tackle. Jackson's gone for longs of 15-plus in 17 of his last 23 games, going back to last season, and we have seen the Finns give up a ton of rushing yards to dual-threat QBs like Josh Allen and Justin Fields already this season. So Lamar over 14.5 yards for his longest run on Thursday night. Todd, what do you got in this one?
You know, there were a pair of player props that I looked at here, one on each side of the ball, Devin Achane potentially to go over his receiving number at 30.5. But you know where I settled, J-Lo? To the emerging big play threat in that Ravens backfield. He of the name Keaton Mitchell, who finally looked healthy during dealing with that gruesome knee injury that derailed his season last year. You look at his usage, and it's not going to leave anybody feeling warm and tingly, but he was on the field for 7 offensive snaps after the bye. Why is that relevant? He had only seen 6 snaps in the 2 prior games as well. And you can see that big play potential he brings, that you can use him in running downs. We know that the Achilles heel for this Dolphins team has been their run-stopping ability. Last week against the Atlanta Falcons notwithstanding, I think Keaton Mitchell, a nice change of pace, a little bit of thunder and lightning. I'll take Keaton Mitchell over 11.5 yards. I think he gets 3 carries and can easily eclipse that figure.
All right, anytime touchdown bets, odds provided by Bet365. Todd, get us started. Who's finding pay dirt here?
Well, let's just hope my player is actually out there and available this week since A.J. Brown decided to take the week off after I gave him out last week. It didn't derail, though, the Eagles' best bet, minus seven. I'm going to take Jackson Dart at plus $1.75. This is a Giants team that you mentioned has been ravaged by injuries. I'll make the case that Jackson Dart is the best red zone threat the Giants have on their roster. We've seen the rushing touchdowns starting to accumulate. He's at four in the last five games. And in my opinion, against this 49ers much maligned defensive line that has looked like final destination, there are running avenues aplenty. I'll take Jackson Dart to find pay dirt plus $1.75.
All right. Hopefully he survives. It's not Friday the 13th. I'm going with Keenan Allen, plus 130 here for the Bolts. Allen had a quiet week last week against Minnesota, only 18 snaps, and Harbaugh was asked why, and he said more personnel and the fact that they were beating the living shit out of the Vikings. But Allen still tied for second amongst wide receivers at 12 red zone targets, and it's not just inside the 20 that he does damage. He can do damage deep, too. This Titans secondary is bad. They give up a lot of home runs, still with their top corner, Legarius Sneed, and Tennessee runs a lot of zone coverage. Allen loves to feast and find Zeems in that zone coverage, so I like him to find the touchdown. Down plus 130 here in week 9. All right, time to run the 2-minute drill with our best bets for NFL week 9. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Todd, I'll get it started here. I'm going with Josh Allen over 35.5 rushing yards, minus 110. Sunday's marquee showdown against the Chiefs, going to be like a playoff game, and that means Josh Allen's going to be doing it all. He has made big plays with his legs in the biggest games, and he has routed up and down this Spags defense in the past. 39, 42, 55, 68, 72, and 88. No, those are not tonight's winning lotto numbers. Those are some of Allen's recent rushing totals against Kansas City. Add in the fact the Chiefs have given up a ton of yards to QBs, and I like Allen to go for over 35.5.
You're going to take an over in the player prop market. I'm going to take an under in the first half between the Atlanta Falcons and New England Patriots. Look, I expect Michael Penix to be back under center for Atlanta. Do I think Drake London is going to be a full go? That remains to be seen. But even if he's out there, he's going to draw the matchup against Christian Gonzalez, which is a little problematic. You can't run the football against this New England front. And look, the Atlanta Falcons defense was embarrassed last weekend by the Miami Dolphins. Jesse Bates didn't finish that game. I think he'll be back. I look for points to be at a premium early between the Falcons and Pats.
Nice. Wouldn't be a best bets if we didn't have a first half derivative. I love that. Go with Caleb Williams. Yes, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. It's minus 115. Williams not living up to the hype here in his second year, but he may get to pad his stats against a very poor defense in Cincinnati. And the Bengals sit dead last in a lot of these stats when it comes to defending the pass. Allow the second most passing touchdowns per game. They made Justin Fields look like Joe Willie out there last week. So projections for Williams all leaning towards two touchdowns as well, too. Their red zone offense, not great. Luckily, Cincinnati's defense inside the red zone also doo-doo. Caleb Williams over 1.5 passing touchdowns.
You know, what could be more fun than going to Monday Night Football and taking a team that's lost five straight games and betting them plus 2.5? Not even on the key number. We haven't picked on the Cowboys in a while. I don't care who's under center for the Arizona Cardinals. This offense will absolutely hum against the Dallas defensive front or lack thereof. And I think the Cardinals defense can at least provide a little bit of a speed bump. Look at Arizona's recent strength of schedule. This is a step down. Titans loss notwithstanding. Give me Arizona plus the points. You won't need them outright against Dallas.
Arizona on the road is one of your favorite spots. I will say, I don't know if they get... yeah, that defense is bad for Dallas. So, it's tugging at my fandom on this one. But yeah. All right, that was the horn. That means the end of our next 600 seconds and another week of NFL analysis in the can. A big thanks to Chris behind the scenes. Big thank you to Todd. A big thanks to Bet365. And, of course, a big thank you to you for tuning in and listening to what we had to say each and every week. And as we do each week, we're going to ask that you rate and review the podcast, you like and subscribe on YouTube, and leave some comments. Let us know what you're betting here in Week 9. Todd, we hit the second half of the season next week, which is nuts. Time flies when we're having fun. But what changes do bettors need to keep in mind as we head into November football?
You have to remember how to bet an underdog occasionally in the NFL, despite the results that we've seen over the last 2 weeks, where it's just go down that parlay card, circle every team with a minus sign by them. We are going to start to see separations of the haves and have-nots. It's hard to ignore that we've seen the cream rise to the top. We have a pretty good idea of the teams that are legitimately playoff functional versus the teams that are playing for draft position, but the betting market is going to start to reflect that. This is the mushy middle where you have to be a little bit careful trying to take some of those inferior teams that I oftentimes love to line my card with, But remember, the National Football League is known to be the most efficient betting market out there. Odds makers aren't going to stand idly by and continue to let people bet favorites to the tune of, you know, an 80% success rate. So a little bit of buyer beware. We'll see a turning of the tides. Not sure exactly when it happens, but it will happen eventually, like it always does.
Yeah, 2-11 underdogs. That was 2-11 ATS for underdogs. Last week, which is the highest or the best week for favorites. It dethroned a 2-10-1 ATS record for underdogs, or a 10-2-1 ATS record for favorites. Week three of 1998. So, as someone who writes an underdogs column, that was tough. That was tough. I got out with a 1-2 record, luckily. So I feel like I escaped. I feel like that one escapee running out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house and hopping in that truck at the end with my one win. All right, we will be back next Wednesday for NFL Week 10. Until then, best of luck with your bets.